This was probably a surprise to the Spartans. And if anything, the Spartans probably took this reaction by the Athenians more as a challenge and became ever more determined to pursue their strategy and press for a decisive victory. In 430 BC, and we'll be discussing that this issue in a coming lecture, the Athenians began to suffer from a serious plague, or perhaps a series of diseases, including cholera, which eventually carried off about 25% of the population within the opening years of the war. And so those dangers of overcrowding became quite clear and frustrated and angered the Athenian population. And after the outbreak of that plague in 430, Pericles came under severe criticism. He was actually deprived of political office, fined, eventually reelected, and Pericles himself suffered from that plague and died late in 429 BC. And it's questionable whether Pericles was directing the assembly in the last year of his life, which would be 430 and the opening of 429 BC. In any case, the Spartans were determined to win a decisive victory. They wanted freedom of the Greeks, and their frustration in the first year meant that when the Athenians sent out feelers, peace overtures, late in 430 BC, after the plague had ravaged the population and Pericles was out of favor, the Spartans were in no mood to arbitrate and now essentially demanded the surrender of the Athenian Empire. And the Athenians really had no choice but to continue the war. This meant that both sides were now committed to a strategy of decisive victory, and each side had to rethink its initial strategies. Well, these initial strategies pursued by the Spartans and the Athenians have excited a great deal of controversy among scholars, and to this day are studied by modern authors hoping to find some sort of key in dealing with great wars that would subject an electorate to a long and destructive war in which economic systems are at stake and they're not going to be easily won by decisive battle. Some scholars have argued that Pericles really didn't want to fight, that this strategy, this indirect approach of sending out fleets to ravage the Peloponnesian shores really was more of a psychological demonstration than a serious effort to hurt the Spartans. And many a scholar, a political scientist, a media expert, have used Pericles' policy as an indirect approach. It would be behind arguments of augmenting strength as necessary as a crisis unfolds, not going to the most severe and decisive strategy, but essentially pursuing a combination of armed force with diplomacy. I'm not sure Pericles and the Athenians saw it that way. To be sure, they were willing to sacrifice their fields. That was a hard decision. And the Spartans, between 431 and 425 BC, five times entered Attica and ravaged thoroughly the area. And this was a harsh economic impact on most Athenians. They couldn't afford to lose the grain and the crops of a single year. Most Thetes and many hoplites could be reduced to destitute straits very quickly. Victor Hansen has argued that the ravaging was restricted, that the Spartans really couldn't uproot the trees, the olive trees, that cutting the vines really didn't cause any long-term damage, that the countryside could recover quickly. But that was very little comfort to Athenians who were removed from their towns and villages for 3 or 4 months, cooped up behind the walls, saw their farmsteads ruined year after year, and really didn't have the resources to continue. And that type of suffering, which Pericles knew the Athenians would endure, meant that his strategy had to hurt the Spartans and Peloponnesians, and it had to deliver some kind of decisive victory, that it was not just a restrained or moderate policy. Those naval demonstrations along the shores of the Peloponnesus in 431 and 430 BC hurt the Peloponnesian League considerably. The Athenians ravaged vast districts along the coastal zones. They tried to take ports, notably the port of Pia in Elis. They almost captured Epidaurus in 430 BC. And they intercepted the trade from Sicily and Italy. Scholars have minimized this economic impact, but Corinth, Sicyon, Megara, most of the Peloponnesus depended on the trade contacts with Sicily and Italy.